if you weren't to have a kid that was genetically your embryo, how did those thoughts play out in your head?
It crippled me a little bit. Like, I remember crying about it, going, I don't think my embryos are going to be okay. For whatever reason, we were having so many troubles with one. In my head, I'm like, we're spending all this money, investing all these emotions. I'm like, is it going to get to the point where we're just going to have to go back to square one?
Queers, queens, and in-betweens, hello and welcome to Same Sex, Same Shit. I'm Rochelle, and some weeks I'm joined by my incredible fiancé Maddie, and other weeks I'm joined by powerhouse queer guests. Now, we love to chat all things lesbian, and each week we're going to be sharing that us queers do the same shit as everyone else, but better. Now, I know I harp on a lot about being the non-birthing parent. This is the whole reason I started this podcast, is because I couldn't find any information on becoming a mum as the non-birthing parent. That's the position that I was in when Maddie and I had our first daughter, and now we're having our second bub, a little boy. And yeah, there was just no information out there on the feelings and thoughts and processes that you go through with that. But we can't forget that there is another aspect in a same-sex relationship, which we've brought Maddie on today to talk about. We've brought Maddie on, as in, like, I've brought Maddie on to her podcast to talk about carrying a child that's not genetically related to you. So if this is your first time listening to this podcast, you don't know a lot about us and our journey. Mads carried both our kids, carried our first one, and she's now pregnant with our second. And our daughter is my embryo. And now Mads is carrying her embryo. We use the same donor for both kids. But Mads, I want to talk to you about your experience and what it was like carrying your child, especially your first child as well, that, you know, was my embryo. So it wasn't genetically related to you. What were your initial kind of thoughts around when we chose to do reciprocal IVF and use my embryo?
Do I love this woman enough to carry her embryo? It was a love test.
That is a valid question to ask.
And the answer was obviously yes. No, because we originally planned to have, it was just for like expense wise and whatnot. And we were somewhat, we didn't really discuss it or think it of it as much of an option for an embryo, for me to carry your embryo. So I think initially we were going ahead with just my embryo, and then feelings started getting involved when shit got a bit more real. So we started processing emotions and how we were feeling. And yeah, I didn't think much of it because obviously I was carrying, and I was like, either way, I'm going to be pregnant. Like, this is like, hopefully I'm going to be pregnant. And yeah, so I didn't think too much. And then when you open up and express yourself, which you don't do an awful lot, you're a bit reserved. So when you opened up, I said, this must mean so much to you. And the idea of us knowing that we both wanted more than one, I was more than okay to carry your embryo to make us feel like as a family, as in depth as we wanted to.
I wonder if that was also a little bit of like an internal motivator for you, because yeah, I thought about it and I sat on it for so long, and the whole idea of you carrying, you being pregnant, it being your embryo, we have your last name. I will, when you eventually decide to marry me, but the kids will have your last name. And I kind of felt like a bit of garnish in the whole process, and I was a bit disconnected. So yeah, it did take me a bit to come to you and kind of say, because I know that was our plan as well, to carry your embryo, and that was what we were going to do. And it took me a bit to be like, oh, I don't, how are we going to change this? Like, I want to feel more involved in the process. So I wonder if that was a motivator for you as well, because you would, I guess, being quite selfless and being like, this is how she's going to feel involved in the process.
I didn't think too much of it until we were successful with the pregnancy and we started talking about, oh, I wonder what she's going to look like and what features she's going to have. And every time I said that deep down, like, I was like, okay, well, she's technically not going to have my features, and this is my first. I'm like, what if this is going to be a bad experience and I don't want to carry again, and then you don't want to carry, or we can't fall pregnant again, and all these questions come in to play. And I guess at that time you just got to bring yourself back and be positive about it. So there is some confronting questions and thoughts that I went through. And yeah, it's your first. So it's not often that you have your first child and you go, oh, she's not going to have my features. Like it's a weird concept. But as a family, it brought me closer to you. I felt so much love and so much, like, just I was drawn to you because I'm like, I'm carrying something that is going to share your pretty features. And I was obsessed with it. I loved it.
Do you think that it changed how you bonded with the pregnancy and with the bub? Even, I guess, Macklin, now we know her as.
I don't think so. I don't think I did. I think because as a parent, like, I was already playing my role of growing and protecting her for the first 9 months, and that was solely on me, like what I could do and what I eat and how, what I did for exercise and how I kept myself healthy throughout the pregnancy. And I felt like from day dot, you work as a team. No matter what she's going to look like or whose features she's going to share, I'm like, it was her and I for the first 9 months of her life. So no, I found the bond absolutely fine. Yeah, there's envy there that I'm like, oh my god, she's got your lips and she's got this and this of you. And there's a part of me that's like, ah, like it'd be cool to compare myself and see a little one that we've grown, and yeah, it would be cool to see a kid that looks like you and have your features like you can do with Macklin. But I admire, like I said, I admire it when I see you two and you look like each other because I adore you both.
Do you think that it plays on your mind or you recognize it or notice it or think about it more now that she's out and like you can compare us two next to each other? Or do you think you thought about it more during the pregnancy?
Yeah, definitely more through the pregnancy. I think now it's we're grossly obsessed with her. It's just disgusting. It's just our and she could have blue eyes, fair skin, complete opposite to all of us, and the love is just there. It's just a natural thing that you feel. And yeah, there's nothing, no appearances or anything that can stop you from loving your little one.
Did you ever – these are just rapid-fire questions.
Keep going.
This is so unlike me. I always prepare notes, and this is just like a let's go off the top of my head. But did you ever prepare for or have moments when – because you're a chronic overthinker. Did you ever have moments where you thought, if I can't have a kid that's genetically my embryo, did you ever play that scenario in your head or try and work through those emotions or figure out how you would feel about that?
With the first pregnancy, that was, you and I can agree that I was very fortunate with the pregnancy I had with Macklin. It was nice and somewhat, if you can classify pregnancy as cruisy, but I didn't question whether I'd be going through pregnancy again. And that was really reassuring because poor women out there can feel sick. Like, we've got a good friend that is sick from start to finish. And if that happened to me, I just don't know whether I could have done it again. But because I had that reassurance of an okay pregnancy, I wasn't scared about what was ahead of us and what we're going to be trying.
Yeah. And so now you're carrying your embryo. We're having a little boy. What are your thoughts now? Do you feel any different?
I definitely feel different. Absolutely feel different.
More different than you expected that you would feel?
Yeah, definitely.
In what way?
That's a hard question, but I think because I've spent the last 2 years seeing our child look like you and comparing features, I think it's built up an excitement in my body to do the same thing as well. So I think I'm really excited to just see him and be like, I can actively look for things that he might have that we might share together as well. And yeah, I think that's just the only reason why it hits different. I mean, there's going to be no loving one child extra because it's my embryo or yours. I think I just have an excitement because I see how exciting it is to see you two share some features, and I'm excited to be in that similar boat with one of our kids too.
I'm not very good at connecting faces or looking at someone and being like, they look like such and such, or looking at Mac and thinking that she looks like me. I can count on one hand the amount of times I've looked at Mac and been like, seen myself in her. For a very long time, I think this is why I was such a big advocate on trying to connect and navigate through the emotions of becoming a parent as the non-birthing parent, because I just struggled. I'd never really remembered that Mac was my embryo, if that makes sense. Because whereas I said this to you so much through your pregnancy, because you always said, I'm carrying like a mini you, like she might look like you. And I always forgot when you were pregnant that she was my embryo. And I suppose when she was out as well, like it wasn't something that crossed my mind regularly. Mm. And it's the exact same as this little boy. It's not something that crosses my mind regularly that this is your embryo and Max my embryo.
Mm.
It's just our kids and our family. And I wonder if I was pregnant with either one's embryo, if I would feel a different bond. Like I wonder if I just don't think about the genetics and the embryo because I'm not the one that's pregnant.
Nothing about you's changed technically.
Or, yeah, or if it's just be like a personality thing.
Meanwhile, I'm over here and you've diagnosed me as a chronic overthinker and I've got
nothing new to you, babe.
And I've got heightened emotions and shit's all over the place in my world and I could be like, yeah, well, she's got that same freckle as you. It's behind your back, lefty. Yeah, but you're good
like that. You will look at someone and be like, oh my God, don't they look like their sister? Or
yeah.
God, that looks like such and such. And you're good with facial recognition and picking up on really minute features.
Yeah.
So I wonder if a personality thing comes to play as well with the my embryo versus your embryo.
But I also have the banging in my belly where they're just like bopping around and I'm constantly triggered that there's a human casually growing there, which is never going to be casual for me, but casual for them inside. But I have constant reminders that I'm pregnant, which makes me obviously think about pregnancy and being pregnant and yada yada and all the rest that comes with it and then overthinking that and whatever, and like it just goes into a whirlwind sometimes. So I guess, like I said, you're nothing about you has technically changed. You're going to your Pilates, you're going to work, you're cooking dinner, coming home, like doing all the rest. Like nothing in your day-to-day life has overly changed.
Mm.
Whereas I'm puffing, like I'm over here. Excuse me if I'm puffing down the microphone because I'm like, I feel like I'm just always heavily breathing now. So
you're saying you've got that constant reminder.
Yeah,
I'm pregnant. Who's in there? I want to bond with them.
Yeah, all these questions come with it.
Yeah. I just want to circle back to a question I asked earlier. I want to see if you've got any more in-depth thoughts about it in regards to if you weren't to have a kid that was genetically your embryo, like how did those thoughts play out in your head? Because you were kind of relating it to pregnancy, which is so fair. You're like, yeah, I'm going to be pregnant again. And we're going to try it with my embryo because I'm happy. This pregnancy was good. I'm not scarred by it. But like, what if the situation, did you ever play that situation out in your head that they might all have to be my embryos?
It did, but it didn't. I haven't really played it out until we were trying to conceive with our second one. And we had as many hurdles and mishaps that were unexpected. And reality started sinking in a little bit there that, what might happen? Are we going to have to use your embryo again because my embryos weren't holding up type thing? So, yeah, I did go into deep thoughts about possibly carrying yours. And it did. It crippled me a little bit. Like I remember crying about it going, fuck, like I don't think my embryos are going to be okay. Like I don't think either my embryos are good quality or they're not mixing with the donor. For whatever reason, we were having so many troubles with one. We were successful with the first transfer with yours. So in my head, I'm like, we're spending all this money, investing all these emotions. I'm like, is it going to get to the point where we're just going to have to go back to square one and do what we did for Macklin?
I want to talk about family, both our families, your family in particular, because they were having a grandchild that wasn't genetically related to them either. My God, they were incredible. Like the most supportive family you could ever ask for. And we're very grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
But did you ever have any conversations with your family, or were there ever anything surrounding that, or did you have any internal sense of guilt or?
No, it did feel a bit different, and it wasn't to the point of being an issue though or anything. Like it was, like you said, my family was full supporting, and you know, like my mum's even said to you, if I ever broke up with you, she would disown me and claim you as her daughter. So she adores you. So it's kind of similar situation where I'm like, I love you so much that I would carry your embryo with not a question.
Hmm.
And if that was the only embryo and only child that we could have, then so be it. Obviously, there's that burning desire to have one with my genetics. But yeah, I think the same went for the parents. I know they've obviously made some comments since conceiving with this one, with my embryo, and they're like, they're talking about features and stuff now because they have, like, we've got Macklin and then we've got this Bubba Boy coming along and they're getting excited for me too to have that kind of similar feeling and to be able to look at this one coming through that it could, we could share some genes. And it's their side of the family too that have the similar genes to me as well. So God knows, mum could come in hot there and get the features in strong. You don't know. But so it's exciting for everyone in a different way.
Yeah.
There was no real point where it was just like, have I done the wrong thing or anything? Well, I'm so happy what we did and the way we went about it.
Yeah. Talking from my family perspective, because my family is quite different to yours, and I've obviously got that strong Catholic Italian heritage as well. And so I didn't actually talk to my grandparents, my Italian side, about being gay or about being with you or going through IVF or what we were doing, really, until we were pregnant. They knew I was gay. They knew that I was seeing you, but I just didn't really speak to them at all. It was very rarely, maybe at family events. They live in a different state to me. I'd call them on their birthdays, but it was very superficial sort of stuff. And I do remember, and I kind of feel guilty about it looking back, because it does over time take a while to be confident about addressing these things to your family when they're close-minded and whatnot. But I was maybe me, and I was very like, this is my embryo. I was like, Maddie's pregnant. We're having a baby together. It's my embryo. And I thought that saying that would make them feel better about the pregnancy. Because then they had a sense of connection to it. And at the end of the day, I just look back on it and think, God, that was so silly of me to try and push it down their throats that, hey, but it's okay because it's my embryo.
Yeah.
Whereas at the end of the day, this is my family and they should just be happy for me regardless.
Yeah.
And they are. And they're, I think having Mac has brought us closer to them, like us as a family, you, me and Mac. And we have a bit more to do with them now, which is really nice. And they are excited about this little boy. They know it's your embryo. But yeah, I think I still have like feelings of guilt around it. But I think people going through being pregnant who have conservative families and they're carrying their partner's embryo, same-sex relationships, I see how they would potentially find it difficult to have those conversations with their family about, I'm pregnant, but I'm carrying my partner's embryo. Maybe their family don't feel as much of a sense of connection to the baby when they're already maybe a little bit homophobic or not approving of their relationship.
On like tail ending on that as well, when we pass on that message, at the same time, like I'd be lying if I wasn't sitting there going, maybe they will like me a little bit more. Maybe they will see that the love that I have for you is real. Like they will understand just the depths that I will go through for you. And in a way, I was just excited to maybe get a bit of feedback or something, or feel a bit more connected to that side of the family. Because one, genetically, there's going to be a grandchild that has the same DNA as them. I was like, but two, I'm like, here I am. I'm like, this is, I love her. I'm doing this and we are a family and I'm willing to go through all of this to just create a family. And yeah, acceptance was something that was quietly being chased on my end as well. So it was hard. We were in the thick of it and it is a challenging process, but I don't know where I'm going.
isn't it funny that within our immediate circle and family dynamic that I don't think about it day to day. I'm not like, Macklin's my embryo. You're carrying your embryo. Like, it means jack shit to me. This is our family. I love us so much. Yes, we have our preferences and we have our non-negotiables. You know, we're using the same donor for the kids. That's a family choice that we've made together. We raise them with the same values. But from the outside, isn't it funny that other people are, I guess, so obsessed with, they look like you or they have this of yours. Like, it's a very appearance-based thing.
I even got lost in it a bit too, because obviously we have a bit to process and there's just like, it's a bit of a different situation to a hetero couple falling pregnant. But like even, I forget who it was, but someone stated, it was in one of our previous episodes, but a girl touched on it saying, if the baby was to look purely like the donor, that's fine because it reminds us of the gift that we've been given from this donor to help create this family. And that's something that I grabbed onto and held for so, like, I'll hold onto forever because at the end of the day, like, if I really sit back and think about what matters, like, appearances is not anything. And if this baby comes out and has nothing that looks similar to me, that is absolutely okay, because I'm stoked that I was capable of carrying this human, expanding our family, and we're going to love the heck out of all the kids, no matter the appearance. So it's just, it's a bit silly, and you get a bit absorbed in it. Like, it's, we're all guilty of it, I think.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, Mads, thank you for shedding some light. It's not all about the non-birthing parent. It can be about the birthing parent sometimes, I suppose. You can have a bit of the limelight.
Thanks.
No, but I do know that there are a lot of, this is why we do this podcast. There's so many intricacies in a same-sex relationship going through IVF and family building that nobody else experiences. Straight couples don't experience. And I like bringing to light these conversations. And it's not saying, like, you know, obviously there's absolutely so many other options out there, surrogates and whatnot, but we're talking specifically about in a same-sex couple carrying your partner's embryo and the feelings of carrying a kid that's not genetically related to you or not your embryo. And thank you for shedding some light on that.
You're welcome.
And I think that you're gonna make a lot of people feel more normal. Because it's a reality. It's a reality of what happens in same-sex family building. If you want to go down that reciprocal IVF pathway, that's potentially going to be something that the birthing mum faces, some thoughts and feelings around that.
Yeah, there's a lot that surfaces and a lot to process. But, yeah, either way, you guys make it work. Love is the real winner here, guys.
I'm surprised you didn't say, everyone just hold hands and love each other.
Literally.
That's Maddie's favorite quote.
But still, hold hands, everyone. Love you. Bye.
On that note, if you've made it this far in the podcast, thank you so much. Please like, subscribe to our podcast, hit the download follow button. It means so much to us, and it just genuinely means that we get more visibility to grow our community, and we can reach more people and share our stories and share others' stories to help all of the queers out there. And that is what we're planning to do. Dominate the queer world.
Yeehaw.
Bye. Thank you all so much for listening today. If you'd like to connect with us and stay up to date with our day-to-day life, as well as future episodes, you can do so on our socials at those.2mums. We absolutely love bringing you these conversations each week. So if you love it too, please subscribe and leave us a review. Chat to you all next week. Bye.